good morning, MK. Thank you so much for having me on today.
Yeah, well, I think this is an important story, especially for New Mexicans because of our rare history and this connection to this genetic common Hispanic mutation. Can you tell us exactly what it is and where it comes from?
Okay, well, the CHM, it is known as a common Hispanic mutation here in New Mexico, but the clinical name is CCM1, which is cerebral cavernous mutations. And the one that occurs here in New Mexico is the number one, CCM1, because there are three different kinds. And the issue here in New Mexico is that because it is genetic and familial, it is on a dominant gene, so it has continued to be passed down from family to family for over 400 years. It began back in the 1600s with Cristobal Baca and his wife, Ana Maria Ortiz, who settled New Mexico back in the 1600s. One of them had it, or when they got married, one of their kids had it, whatever. It's one of these rare genes that just happens. It happens all over the world. There are all different kinds of genes. This one just happened to occur here in New Mexico. And to a very prominent family who, of course, you know, married into lots of other families throughout the years, the last 400 years. So now it has become a very, it affects a significantly large number of New Mexicans. We used to say just Hispanics, but because of modern times, it's not just Hispanics anymore.
Right, due to all the intermarrying over the last 400 years.
400 years.
Yeah,
right.
that's a lot of history. And
that's a lot of history.
Yeah, it's also become a way, I'd like to talk about the medical aspects first, because I'm sure that's probably the first question people have on their minds. But it's also become a way for Hispanic families to connect, understand their ancestry, come together, and sort of put all the pieces together. But there may be people out there that are suffering from strange symptoms and not even know they have it. What are some of those symptoms? What do they look like?
Right. Well, for starters, what CCM1 does, it creates almost like lesions, if you want to call them, or whatever, in the brain or the spinal column. And you can have hundreds, literally hundreds of these tiny, 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 almost microscopic lesions in the brain and have absolutely no problem, live your life normally, no problem. It's when one of these decides to bleed and grows that it causes medical problems. And it's very difficult to diagnose because it depends on where the lesion is in your brain, what symptoms you have. So you can have severe migraine headaches. You can have seizures and mimic epilepsy. You can have mini strokes that are, you know, mimicking heart disease. You can have loss of sensation, motor problems, you know, difficulty walking, talking, etc. So because it has a myriad of symptoms, it can be hard to diagnose. And one of the things that we've learned in the past 2.5 years that the Baca Project has been ongoing here in New Mexico is that there's still a lot of healthcare professionals, doctors, family health practitioners, nurses, etc., who have never even heard of this. That makes it even more difficult to diagnose. And the seriousness is this, even though cerebral cavernous angiomas are considered a rare disease, in New Mexico, it is not rare. We estimate that anywhere from 40 to 50% of the Hispanic population here in New Mexico may carry the gene. Now, that doesn't mean you're all sick. Like I said, you can have this your entire life and never have any symptoms. But you can pass it on down, and that's what's happening. Parent passes it on down to their child, passed on down to the grandchildren, et cetera. And then it may be the grandchild who ends up exhibiting some severe medical issues.
Right, and if
so, it can be very scary, but there are wonderful opportunities now. There's a lot of research that's been going on. We have some medications that hopefully will be out on the market in a few years, and they're already in human trials. And the thing is that what we do is we treat the symptoms, just like a majority of the diseases that are out there. There may not be a cure, but you treat the symptoms.
Right. And also, if you do have it, if you have inherited it somehow, you can also have a 50% chance of passing it on, right? If a child has it, then 50% that their kids may get it, even if they're not
symptom,
right? Now, is that true?
Exactly. Even though you're not symptomatic, you have children, there's a 50-50 chance with each child, just like there's a 50-50 chance that it's going to be a boy or a girl, there's a 50-50 chance that you'll pass it on to that child or not. So you can have a family of three or four kids, and one child may have it and the other's not, or all your children may have it. It's just a flip of the coin.
Right, and many people are out there. You estimate there are still thousands of people out there still undiagnosed.
Yes. Absolutely. And it's spreading. It's no longer just New Mexico. Of course, all throughout the Southwest, California, Arizona, New Mexico, Texas, we have a lot of people. Families move. You know, they migrate. We even have people around the world. I always say thanks to our military forces. You know, people, it's modern times. People live all over the world. But the largest concentration in the world is here in New Mexico.
Yeah, it's really an odd thing, but again, it goes back to our history as well as also Southern Colorado, correct?
They're yes, also absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Well, you think about the San Luis Valley and the ancestry that dates so back so closely to our Spanish relatives that's obviously where it was born from. So you have a genealogist on staff, Joyce Gonzalez, and she's the person who actually discovered this the original family that carried this gene, correct?
Yes.
And can you tell? Yeah. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
I was just going to say, historically, this is significant because all of these genetic mutations come back from one central source, but rarely, you know, are you able to identify where it came from. But because, again, in New Mexico, we're so isolated that Joyce was able to do this. Joyce herself is a patient. She has CCM1. So when she was diagnosed at UNMH that she had this, and it was explained to her by Dr. Leslie Morrison, who is now retired from UNM, about what exactly it was, that there had to be a central, a common set of grandparents. Being a genealogist, she said, well, let me look into it. Well, letting her look into it took 15 years of research for her to identify and conclude, along with other historians, you know, that are from like the New Mexico Genealogical Society, et cetera, that the common set of grandparents had to be Cristobal Baca and his wife, Ana Maria Ortiz. So what we know now from the thousands that we have identified as carriers, and this is through DNA testing, so we know 100% that these people have the same exact genetic mutation. All of them can trace their roots back to Cristobal Baca.
Yeah, it's rather remarkable.
That's amazing. It is. Every single person has the exact identical genetic mutation, which means the break in that one chromosome that causes this is the same in every single person. And we're talking thousands of people.
Wow. And now you may not have any symptoms. You may even carry it, as you say,
correct,
be a carrier, but not have any, it'll never manifest itself in you, but it could into your next generation. So you really recommend getting tested just so that you can know and kind of clear yourself and say, look, we know we're out of the woods on this one, but if you're a Baca or if you're, and you have a whole bunch of surnames, and I want to go through the last names if we can, I've pulled some off of your website to just let people know in case this, you are in your, you have any of these last names in your family, you might want to go get yourself tested. But quick, tell us about the testing that you do have available. How much does it cost, and how can people sign up or find out more about it?
Now, the test is very simple. It's just a DNA test, a cheek swab, just like you see on TV or the other popular DNA tests like Ancestry.com, etc. But it is nothing like those DNA tests because ours is very, very specific for the CCM1 gene. That's all it tests for, is to see if you have this genetic mutation. And what we do, we have conferences throughout the year. In fact, we're going to have one this Sunday, April 14th, at the Santa Fe Women's Club. We're going to be there. We're going to talk about the CCM1. We're going to provide information, history, and clinical information, and do on-site testing. Now, just like any DNA test, I would say, except on TV, it takes 4 to 6 weeks to get the results, okay? So when you can come in, if we think you are of high risk, and there are certain families, like if you are, especially if you are a C. de Baca or Cabeza de Baca, those are some of our high-risk families. we will test you for free. And because we want to make sure that you know if you carry this gene or not. And once we get the results go to your doctor. They don't go directly to you, you know, because of HIPAA, et cetera. So, and then we make sure that you are referred to the proper doctors, hospital, et cetera, you know, for this. And we're very lucky that here at in Albuquerque at UNMH, there is a clinic, center of excellence that specializes in CCM1. So in that respect, New Mexicans are very lucky that they don't have to go to the Mayo Clinic. They don't have to go to Chicago or whatever. They can get treated for this right here in Albuquerque.
It's really amazing. Most of the time, before you get checked for any kind of health problem, you look for symptoms. But in this case, you're actually looking for your last name. Your last name is going to be your largest indicator of whether or not you may or may not be at risk. So let's go through some of the names and just check me off and see if I'll go through them. If I get any wrong, let me know, or if I'm leaving any out. So we have Aragon.
Okay, no, go. Some of them, like the names you probably have, are what we call probably are high risk, but they're not the highest. Like I said, the C. de Baca and Cabeza de Baca are the highest risk. But go ahead. There's definitely like another 20 names.
Okay, C. de Baca, and tell us one more time. C. de Baca
and Cabeza de Baca.
Cabeza de Baca. So those are the right. Highest at risk. Okay.
Yes.
Then
yes.
We have Aragon, Armijo, mm-hmm. Baca. Campos, C. de Baca, which we've already mentioned, and then Campos, Contreras, mm-hmm. Espinosa, Gonzalez, Lopez, Lucero, Luna, Martinez, Mondragon, Montero, Montoya, Holguin, Ortiz, Padilla, Romero, Sanchez, Silva, Valdez, Varela, V. Hill. And I'm telling you, I feel like you've almost covered the entire Hispanic population in New Mexico.
That's what people are thinking. Wait a minute, you know. But that's how widespread this is, you know. So what we do, if you come to the conference on Sunday, you listen to the history of New Mexico, the history of the Baca family, you're going to get a clinical presentation on this genetic mutation, and then we test you according to your risk level. If you are the highest risk, okay, then the DNA test is free, okay? After that, if you are not at that high risk, we do charge $50 for the DNA test. And we do have some people who have absolutely no proof whatsoever that they are part of the family, but they want to be tested anyway.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if that's the case, we do it for $175. And we say, look, there's no connection, but I just know I'm a Baca somewhere, you know.
Right,
so
right.
So we go ahead and test you. You know, and we always tell people, if we charge you and you come back positive, we'll refund your money, okay? Mm. Because what that does then is open up a new family line for us to start looking at. When we started this project 2.5 years ago, our pie wedge, if you want to imagine that, was very big, okay? We were at the original grandparents, which was Cristobal Baca and Ana Maria Ortiz. In the last 2 years, that pie wedge is getting narrower and narrower, and we got to where we were testing anyone who was related to the grandson, which was also Cristobal Baca II and his wife Ana Moreno de Lara. Now the pie wedge is even narrower, and we're testing the people who are two of their so we're down to like the third, fourth generation down from Cristobal Baca, who is Juanita La Vieja, is how she's known, and Manuel Baca. So each time, the more information that we learn, that pie wedge keeps getting narrower and narrower. And so hopefully, you know, all the people who come up who get tested, everyone is getting fed into the project and getting identified, and they can see where they are in that pie wedge, whether they're inside that pie wedge or not, you know. So the Baca family line is on Ancestry.com. Joyce right now, I believe, has around 17,000 names, members of the Baca family, on Ancestry.com. So if you come to the conference, you can learn all about that. We will have Henrietta Christmas, who is with the president of the New Mexico Genealogical Society. She's going to be speaking about the Baca family. She and Joyce, of course, are both experts. They will have their computers there, their laptops. They can look up your name. If you don't know anything about your family history, we will work with you and help you develop your family tree. What we find is when you go to the conferences, a lot of people say, wait a minute, that's my cousin, you know, and find how closely related we all are. That's why we always say, todos somos primos, you know, we're all related here in New Mexico.
Yeah, I can say I grew up here, and I can definitely, I have witnessed that in my life, and I'll tell you a little bit more about that in a second. I just want to let people know, just in case they tuned in, they are listening to KSFR's Wake Up Call, 101.1 FM, and also KSFR.org if you want to come find out more information on this. We're speaking with Nora Chavez of the Baca Family Historical Project. Now, tell us again the name of your website in case people want to go to it so they can find out more.
So our website is very simple. It's bacafamily.org. If you want to register for the conference, you just go on our website, go to upcoming events. You'll see the conference listed there with the link. You click on the link, it'll take you to the registration page. Or you can even call me directly. You'll say, look, I don't have internet. You know, call me. My number is 505-450-5902, and I can register you over the phone. Our conference is going to be this Sunday at 10:30 a.m., April 14th, and in Santa Fe at the Santa Fe Women's Club. And it is an all-day conference from 10:30 to 4 p.m.
And again, this is
free.
And it's free. So, and again,
it's free. You can't beat the price.
Right. And again, the testing is free if your name comes under the list of at-risk names for this mutation.
Yes.
And then even
absolutely.
If, yeah, and you may get a discount if they find that somehow you are related and you think you might be, but you're not sure. They can always refund the money. You may have to pay a little something mm-hmm. to get tested, but if they do find that you are part of the genealogy line, then you can even be refunded. This is really a remarkable story. I mean, how often do you have, at least for New Mexico anyway, it's such a rich story in terms of learning so much more about our history, mm-hmm. about our interrelatedness, and then to mm-hmm. find that, wow, we're all possibly suffering from this gene, this unknown genetic mutation that can cause all sorts mm-hmm. of strange symptoms mm-hmm. again. So, and again,
correct.
I just want to tell people one more time, in case they just are tuning in now, the name of this mutation is literally, the medical name is cerebral cavernous angioma. And tell us again some of the symptoms in case people have just tuned in.
Yes. So the basic symptoms are severe migraine headaches, seizures, mini strokes. You know, your doctor can say, oh, you know, you just have a series of mini strokes. And what it could be heart disease, but it could also be that you're having a minor bleed in the brain. It also causes motor functions, like you all of a sudden you say, God, I keep losing my balance. Why am I suddenly falling down a lot? Or my right arm is going numb. That's never happened before. Or all of a sudden, you know, you get blurry vision, or there's just so many different symptoms. And that occurs because it depends on where that angioma is located in your brain, what kind of symptoms you're going to get. Again, it's possible to carry this genetic mutation and not have any symptoms at all. And our biggest concern about that is that even though you are asymptomatic, you can still pass the genetic mutation on to your children and then on to your grandchildren, etc. And that's what's been going on for the last 417 years.
Right, and at least if you know about it, you can help get treatment or understand the symptoms when they start
absolutely.
Popping up. Right. Yeah. So
exactly.
Mm-hmm. And how did you get involved? I'm sorry, did you want to say something?
Well, no, what I wanted to say, and the reason you want to get tested, again, it's so that if you all of a sudden you see your child behaving oddly or all of a sudden having seizures or a variety of things, or people need to talk to each other and say, wait a minute, I'm having the same symptoms that my cousin had, you know, et cetera, that when you go to the hospital, you can tell them, you can say, look, I am part of the Baca family. I carry this genetic mutation. I'm afraid my child may have it. Please check for this as well. And because most hospitals, if you go into the emergency room and you say, I think I'm having a brain bleed, they're going to look at you and say, yeah, right, you know. No, but if you go in there empowered with information, with your own testing, then they'll listen to you. And this is what you want to do. When you go to the hospital, if you think you have this, you know, you can tell the doctors at the hospital and say, please check for this. It's in our family. We're very concerned. This has never happened before. And that can make a difference, especially in children, between life and death.
Yeah, this is the kind of information you also want to start. This is water, good water cooler talk, you know, for this
exactly.
Monday morning at your workplace. And in case you've tuned in and you want to head to work and share the information, pass it on. This is the kind of info you want to share on all your social media sites and let people know about this. And again, your name doesn't have to be Baca. It could be,
right.
Of course, that's the most at risk is the C de Baca, Cabeza de Baca, the Baca family. But there's also names like Martinez. How many Martinez's do we have in New Mexico?
Right.
I mean, you know, right? Armijo, Gonzalez, Mondragon, Padilla, Sanchez,
right.
Romero, Valdez, Varela. I mean, the list goes on. And you can find... Trujillo, that's right.
And we have high target areas. If your family came from Peña Blanca, Las Vegas, New Mexico, Santa Rosa, Los Lunas area, et cetera, the Taos area... By all means, you know, that's a red flag already because those are our highest concentrations. You can be living here in Albuquerque or Santa Fe for two or three generations, but that's not where your family originated from. This is why history, and this is why we bring in genealogy and talk to people and say, you have to get this family history collected from your parents, your grandparents, etc., before they pass on because it gets lost. And that's how you lose this information. And then you say, well, gee, I don't know. I think we're from Santa Fe. And it turns out, well, no, you're not. Your family was from Peña Blanca, one of the highest risk communities, you know.
Right.
So that kind of information, if you want to document it, and we show you how to document it, we show you how to get started on your family tree if you've never done that. And we're very lucky in this internet age that so much of this information is readily available to anyone now.
Again, I want to give people the information, bacafamily.org. You can also reach Nora at 505-450-5902, and you can also contact us right here at KSFR. You'll find the story, and there we'll show our links. We want to thank you so much, Nora Chavez, for joining us this morning. I was almost going to call you Nora Baca.
Thank you.
For joining us today. Thanks so much, Nora. We appreciate all your work.
Thank you very much.